and you choose in any relationship or in any season of your life, you choose what you magnify. I hear single people talking about they're lonely. I hear married people talking about they're lonely. I heard a married couple the other day talk about having no friends, and it brought them to tears. Well, there was a time where they would have said to each other, all I need is you. And but then you get with them and you realize, well, they're not a savior. And if I'm going to be happy in the season of my life, I got to choose what I magnify, what I make bigger. Write this down. What you magnify, you get more of. What you magnify, you get more of. Focus. I'm deciding any given moment in a relationship what I'm focusing on. I was so mad at my dad. I was so mad at that man because he was impossible in the last 2 years of his life. He was impossible. He wouldn't let us take care of him. So he moved away. He went to go live by himself. He was dying, but he wouldn't let my mom take care of him. He wouldn't let us take care of him. Anytime we tried to put a plan together, he would just blow it up. I was so mad at him. I got to the point where my dad, anytime I would try to talk to him on the phone, we couldn't have a conversation. This went on for months. When we would get on the phone, he would go into a rage. Within 2 minutes, it would start here, and it would quickly escalate. And I was so mad at him, I would send people that I would pay for to go and take care of him, and he would fire them. He fired 4 people that I sent to take care of him because he wouldn't stay here and let us take care of him. I couldn't see at the time that he wasn't responding out of his own will. He was responding out of his pain, because when you're in something like that, you don't see the person's intentions, or you don't see the place that it's coming from. You only feel how it's affecting you. I was so mad at him, and I just decided, well, fine, if he has to die and we can't speak, I can't have somebody treat me like this. I was so mad about it. And in the middle of being so mad about it, my father-in-law said something to me that made me so upset, because the last thing you want to hear when you're upset is something like this. He said, well, try to remember the good times. Try to remember the good times. He did a lot of things right. Well, shut up.
That's right.
This is the one time you're not allowed to say amen while I'm preaching. And it was Father's Day of, 2012, 2013. Forgive me for being imprecise on the date. But my memory of it is that I was driving home from vacation with the family on Father's Day, feeling bad that I couldn't do anything with my dad, and my father-in-law's voice in my head. He did a lot of things right. And I came to an idea, and I asked Holly if we could pull over and switch and she could drive, because we were going through the town where I grew up, where my dad was living by himself. And I had the idea, write down one memory for every year that he was your dad and take it to the house and give it to him. One good memory from every year he was your dad. And man, I'm telling you, when I first started making that list, my pen was moving so slow. I mean, it was all I could do to get a letter on the page. I was so mad at him. I was so mad at him because all I could see is how he's treating me right now. But when I started writing, I started remembering. And so I remembered, the first thing I kind of remembered was when I played on the Pirates and he was my coach, and we sucked so bad that he wouldn't let any of us swing at the plate. He made us all bunt every time we were at bat for the whole season. So I wrote that down, bunting. It was my first word. It got me started. Then I remembered about age 14 that he couldn't find a way to connect with me because I was into music. He was into fishing, and he took me to a punk rock concert in Ladson, South Carolina. The worst music that you've ever heard in your life was played in that VW hall that day, but he took me and sat with me, and I wrote down punk rock concert, Ladson. And then I started remembering how after he gave his life to Christ, he wanted me to go to church with him. One of his customers in his barbershop had invited him to their church revival. Now, this was not like a Code Orange revival that's uplifting. This was like a hellfire and brimstone revival. And the preacher was preaching so hard that we went out to this little country church, and me and my dad wondered, what have we gotten ourselves into? And they seated us on the front row. We're there on the front row in this independent fundamentalist Baptist church, and all the women are in dress and everything. We're in T-shirts, and we're sitting there in the church not knowing what we're getting ourselves into. And the preacher got so fired up at one point, this little boy stood up and shouted, but he didn't say amen, praise the Lord, preach, preacher. Here's what the little boy said. He said, let the wild hog eat! I never heard that shout before. So I wrote down, let the wild hog eat. And when I knocked on the door and got the house and handed him the list, I said, here. I didn't even hug him. I said, here. I made you a list, 32 things. He said, how did you remember this stuff? Because you choose what you magnify. And our story had a happy ending. You know, we reconciled, not right at that moment. At that moment, I handed him the list and walked out. I didn't want to see him. But it started something, and I know reconciliation is not always possible on that level, and I'm not even saying that it's always preferable. What I am saying is that whatever you've lost, if you choose to magnify it, you're going to live in what you lost. Whatever they're doing to you right now, if you want to magnify that, you can forget the thousand nice things that they said because of the one text that they sent that said that one thing that they weren't even thinking about. And in your mind, you will begin to magnify. Man, we should use these more in dating. Because we don't look for anything, any warning signs in dating. We don't ask any questions about their bank account. Well, they love God. Yes, but do they have grocery money? See, you need one of these in a dating relationship. You need to see as many specks as you can see. But then you have to use it for a different purpose. In marriage, you got to use it in a close relationship where you're committed. Look, if you come to this church looking for crap to get mad about, let me save you a whole lot of time and searching effort. You will find what you look for. You will find, seek, and you will find. Isn't that what Jesus said? Now, that applies to the good things and the bad things. You know, in any time in a relationship that, see, what you magnify, and I don't know if we understand the power that we have to magnify things in other people that we can bring out of them, the good stuff. I don't know if we understand the power that we have. I told you at the beginning of my sermon that I've been traveling a lot lately in preaching, and so when I do that, I always feel like I'm cheating home. No matter how much I try, I'm probably not doing as bad of a job as I think I am, but I tend to be really hard on myself. So wherever I'm giving, I'm feeling guilty about where I'm not giving. Are you like that? So it's like it's never enough, and so I'm sitting there feeling bad. And one Saturday morning, I had all my notes for the sermon that weekend spread out on the table, and I'd been gone somewhere else preaching all week. So I'm feeling kind of behind and a little bit distracted. The kids are all around me. They're trying to get my attention. I'm paying them no attention. And they're screaming my name, and I'm not listening and all of that. And I know I'm not listening, and I kind of don't care because I got to get this sermon ready, but I kind of feel awful about it. I'm just feeling that thing like I'm stretched apart. And if you don't have a lot of little kids around, maybe this wouldn't apply to you, but I think everybody's felt this way at some point, just sort of like, well, I can't give enough to anybody anywhere, and feeling really like a failure. It was a very mild level, but I felt it. And I was feeling uptight and all that stuff. And I need to be a good dad, but I also need to be a good pastor, and I don't know how to be both at the same time. Sitting there feeling all the, and the kids are yelling, and I'm kind of mad at them and annoyed with them, but it's not their fault. I mean, I'm the one that's been gone, and they really just want for attention. Anyway, Holly speaks up, and she goes, kids, your dad is a great man. I hope when you grow up that you grow up to be a hard worker like your dad. He's been gone all week preaching, doing what God called him to do, and providing for our family. And now look at him. He's got these notes spread out all over this kitchen table. Let me tell you something. She made me feel, in just one little speech, she made me bigger. I'm telling you, ladies, you can make a man bigger. You can. You can make him stronger. You can make him bring in more groceries from the car. Just tell him how strong he is. I'm telling you, Holly, I don't know where she learned this, but when we first got married, I was carrying in the groceries from the car one day. I don't do that anymore. That's what I had kids for. But I was carrying in the groceries one day, and I had a couple bags, you know, a couple bags around my arm, bags everywhere. I had bags coming in the house, and I said, I'm coming in the house, and Holly said, how do you do that? I said, well, it's easy, you know, it's easy for me. So start curling the grocery bags. I grabbed a couple. I put a grocery bag in my teeth. I put one around my neck. Why? Because she magnified something so small. And you magnify the little thing, and it gets bigger. You magnify what you don't have, and it gets bigger in your mind until all you can see is what you don't have. You magnify what they're not, or do you magnify what they've got? So what is your focus? Jesus said, you can look at the speck, you can look at the plank. It's interesting to me because knowing very little about carpentry, I do realize that the sawdust comes from the same material that the plank is made of. Usually when I see something in someone else that makes me angry, offended, it's because it represents something that's in me. So I told you there were two tools in there are when it comes to the relationships that matter the most, and when it comes to the things that offend us and other people, because everybody has issues, and most of us have a subscription. You know what a great dating conversation would be? What kind of crazy are you? Because I can't tell from this distance, but if I get close to you... But you know, all these issues, you got to decide, am I going to focus on theirs or mine? Because I think the key to this thing of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, sometimes you got to put down this. And pick up this. And just ask God, so Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me? Or what is it that I can change? Because I tried changing Charlie, and Charlie won't change. So here I am, Lord. And in the words of the King of Pop, if you want to make the world a better place, where are you going to start? Sometimes you've got to start with your own self. And God says, you can't even help the people that you love when you're infected with the very issue that you're trying to solve. So it's love the Lord your God. That's one half. But it's also love your neighbor as yourself. That's the other half. You can't have this half right and not have this half right. You can't treat people like garbage and worship God at the same time. You can't get this right, though, until you get this right. You can't treat people well if you don't know God loves you, and you can't love God until you have received his love freely. And that's what makes it a cross. That's what makes it a cross. That's what makes it complete, is that it's this and it's this. One thing I never noticed, though, is that Jesus said you'd love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. We go around trying to love people, and we're not even whole within ourselves. But the other thing is that he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've always known that that was a command, but it's also just an observation. That the way you love your neighbor is the way you love yourself. If you haven't received God's acceptance of you, you won't be able to accept anybody else as they are, because you don't even love yourself. And so a lot of times it starts there. It starts with saying, God, I can't go into these relationships anymore half empty and needing people. Sometimes I'm so needy. I was asking God the other day to help me not be so hard on others. And God said, well, first you're going to have to not be so hard on you. Because what starts here flows here, flows here, flows here. flows here. And I just wanted to begin this series today asking you, where is your focus? Because if another person is at the center of your focus and they're responsible for the fulfillment of your joy, you're going to always be miserable. If you're trying to do God's job in fixing somebody else and you have a focus on what they need to become, let me tell you something. There is no worse strategy for your own personal satisfaction in life than to place that responsibility in someone else's hands. So, for all of us who have been saying, you know, I need someone to complete me, or I need you to complete me, or I need this, the message I think God has for us today is, give me my job back. I'm a good God. I'm a good father. I know what you need. And here's the difference between God and everybody else in your life. Not only does he know what you need, he has what you need. And he's the only one who has what you need.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.